You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast. You're listening to Tuesday's edition of the podcast, where we're looking ahead to some racing at Newcastle a little bit later on in the podcast. We've also got afternoon jumps cards at both Bangor and Fontwell. Into the evening, that meeting is on the all-weather at Newcastle. We're jumping at Suttle, and there's also a jumps card at Kilbeggan. Five meetings in total to get stuck into on Tuesday. We'll be live at 1:50 with myself, Sam Norris, joined in the studio by John O'Connell and Ross Briley. But the man joining me in the studio at this very moment is Tom Morley, who's going to take a look through the Monday jury questions and a look ahead to Newcastle as well. How are you, Tom?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Enjoy the weekend of racing?
There was some. I probably enjoyed Friday more than Saturday, to be
really?
Honest. Yeah. Maybe that's because my horse ran better on Friday than the ones on Saturday, but I don't know. I was in the studio perhaps on Friday, which meant I was focused on the racing,
right,
as
yeah,
opposed
yeah.
to just, you know, trying to do a few things at the same time. So maybe that's one reason. And I just thought Friday was a good day's racing, whereas I probably got lost in some of Saturday's
yeah.
and focused maybe just on the main events.
What was your assessment of your string over the course of the weekend?
Swift Approval ran really well. I think if he had got the rail, he'd have won.
Right.
I think it mattered that much. Just one horse off the rail, I think, was sufficient to beat him. That being said, Shared Equity's a gutsy horse to go past, but it was just unfortunate he nabbed the rail in front of us. Saturday, Shamshon finished mid-division in the dash. Jockey didn't do as he was told. So you had no chance if you ran down the middle of the track.
Yeah, yeah.
He was meant to be, probably missed the brake slightly and go straight to the rail. It would have been his only chance. A very small chance, but better than no chance at all.
Yeah.
And Compass Scooby came last, and I don't think we got a lot of help there either, to be honest.
Okay. We'll be taking a look at the Monday jury as well very shortly, and then on to some of the racing at Newcastle on Tuesday. Look at the Monday jury now, in fact, and we begin with the big race of the weekend, of course, the Derby, which went the way of Massar, who saw off DXB in second and Roaring Lion back in third. Your assessment of the big race, Tom? Obviously, Massar beaten by Saxon Warrior in the Guineas, turned the tables round in no uncertain terms, really, in the Derby. I know Saxon Warrior was hampered a bit late on, but didn't really quicken up when he did get clear.
I agree. He wasn't there, not in the same way as he was there in the Guineas. You can talk about the track, you can talk about the trip, but I don't think it would have mattered where it was or possibly what trip it was.
Really?
With certain respect. I'm not, you know, obviously Massar seems to have benefited from it, so I'm not going to say if you stuck them over six furlongs, it would be the same result. But I just don't think the same horse appeared for whatever reason.
Okay.
I mean, there was talk beforehand that Saxon Warrior perhaps didn't look as good in himself as he had done, you know, at the Guineas. And, you know, I would forgive him that run, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Saxon Warrior from now. I mean, the logical thing, you'd think they might drop back in trip anyway. I mean, Ireland will no doubt be an easier or less in-depth race perhaps than the UK Derby. So I'd be tempted to forgive him and see what he does next time before passing a judgment on which way he's going to go from where he was, because obviously he was very disappointing, you know, or maybe everyone expected too much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it might be that. You know, the bottom line was Massar stayed really well, step up in trip suited, and just won very comfortably. To be honest, there was, like you say, there might have been a little bit of trouble for Saxon Warrior in running, but nothing that was going to end, you know, change the result as far as I was concerned. So, I guess Massar will be off to look for the King George, you know, Breeders' Cup perhaps again. He's going to need some good ground, isn't he? So you've got to think something like the Ark could be a question mark, because that's quite often quite damp by then. I thought DXB ran really, really well. I mean, if they'd had a few more rain showers,
yeah,
he probably could well have won. My natural thing would be for him, I guess, to end up at the St. Ledger. No doubt a race or two in between. They're not shy of running them, let's be honest.
Yes, yep.
And Roaring Lion. I mean, Roaring Lion.
A mile and two.
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it? I mean, he travelled really well into the race. I don't think he just saw it out, certainly not as well as Massar. And DXB effectively went back past him. So, yeah, I'd drop Roaring Lion down to 10 furlongs, but I think they must be pretty excited by what he could do in the future as well. Hazapour didn't look to stay. Delano Roosevelt, he might need more of a trip again. Young Rascal, I don't think, like the track at all, so we'll forgive him. But, you know, no doubt people are already either saying, oh, it was a wonderful race, or crabbing it. But let's give some of these horses a chance on a more regulation track, perhaps in more optimum conditions, and then make some judgments rather than trying to nail them already.
Yes. We've obviously got that to come. First impression, you think the form will work out okay?
I think it will, yeah. Yeah.
I think I'd actually as well, yeah.
I don't see why not.
It should do most years.
Yeah.
But I understand that some years we're going to get a below average renewal from time to time. But
I think, and it's not like the totally wrong horses were up the front.
Yeah.
Nothing's caused a huge surprise, particularly. No. I mean, Massar's, you know, he'd shown that he could run pretty decent before. So.
And even DXB, who, despite an SP of 20-1, he was the each way darling for many people.
He was. And they may well have got lucky if there'd been some more of that rain. I mean, it was so hit and miss. You know, just in the, well, days leading up to it, to be honest, not just the day.
Mm. Question number two, how important for the sport is it that Sheikh Mohammed is winning classics? Had to wait a long, long while and throw almighty amounts of money at the board to have a Derby winner, but he's got one.
Yeah, and look, it's vital. Racing has lots of investment, and he is one of the principal people over the years who has invested. And it's not just in the racehorses, is it? It's in all the studs, the staff. There's all sorts of things that behind the scenes, Godolphin and basically the umbrella of around from Sheikh Mohammed serves the community in particular in Newmarket. And you know, if they were to walk away, there would be huge repercussions. Also, you need a rival to Coolmore.
Yeah, definitely.
Not just, again, on the racetrack, but also for breeding. Mm-hmm. You don't want just one lot having everything. It's just no good for anyone having a monopoly situation. And you probably do need some of the other people like Qatar Racing and to rebound and get some decent horses. And then you do need the small people as well to have their day in the sunshine sometimes, because it would be very boring if we watched, you know, every race where it was basically five silks running against each other and the rest of us have all given up because there's no point. So, yeah, he has put a heck of a lot of money in. The prestige, no doubt he's on a high this week, I thought. You know, he can win the races back at home in Dubai and write himself checks for those. But, you know.
There's only one Derby, isn't
there? There is, yeah.
Well, that's not true. There's loads of derbies.
Well, there are loads
of
derbies.
There's only one Epsom derby.
Not many derbies maybe as nationals these days. I mean, every single county has a national now.
But there's only one Epsom derby.
Yeah.
Question number three, then, is regarding some of the, the big storyline in US racing at the moment. Can Justify succeed where Saxon Warrior could not and win a Triple Crown? It's a big, big deal in the US,
It's a huge deal.
I mean, not too many horses here actually have a go at the Triple Crown anymore. So it would have been exciting had Saxon Warrior won in that respect, but it's a massive deal in the States. I mean, American Pharoah a few years ago, it was absolute fever pitch when he won. And Justify's obviously now won the first two legs, the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. I think he's about an even money shot for the Belmont. Yeah. Have you watched much of his performances, Justify?
I didn't watch them live, but I have seen various recordings. I've seen him go through the slop quite well as far as horses go through the slop.
It looked filthy conditions in the Kentucky Derby.
It did, and that would be one concern, not just that it was fairly filthy, but yeah, he's had a few runs quite quickly, and obviously they've been tough. I mean, the Preakness in particular would have been a tough race. I think that would have left its mark. Then you've got the fact that the trip is slightly different. And compared to him, who's been having to really push the limits, you've got a couple of horses that will be fresher. So I think it's quite a big ask, and I wouldn't be surprised if he fails. I mean, I'm sure he's the best horse, but I do wonder if he will have had plenty taken out of him from the last couple of races. And you've got Hofberg and Bravazzo, who, you know, I think one of them are going to, unfortunately, for Justify supporters, nail him.
And this is kind of what happened to California Chrome a few years ago in his Triple Crown bid. Won the first two, but there were horses who hadn't run in the first two and were just turning up for the Belmonts that were just more sharper than him.
Yeah, which people get upset about, but...
The owner was apoplectic, wasn't he?
Let's ban everyone else from racing.
Suggesting that to run in the Belmont, you have to have tried to run in the first two.
Which is just ludicrous, let's be honest. I mean, can you... it's everyone's prerogative where they run. You can't be forced to run in... If they want to make it that sort of rules, well, then we may as well just, you know... We'll have the same 15 horses just turn up for those three races, ban everyone else. But it's just, you can't do that, you know. That would be ridiculous. By the last race, there might only be one that's still fit or something.
Yeah, indeed.
I think a fresher horse is going to outdo him.
That's all to come, of course. Back to the racing in the UK and on to Friday. What did you make of this year's Oaks won by Forever Together? You said you preferred the racing generally on Friday. Did the Oaks do it for you this year?
I mean, it's not often if ever, you get a maiden Forever Together, obviously winning. It was soft ground, so that's sometimes people go, oh, it's a bit of a shame, but that's the weather. Then you've got the fact that effectively Wild Illusion, well, it was like in a T-Pack manoeuvre from the O'Brien horses.
Fully boxed.
And again, some people have whinged about that. I can't see that it made any difference to the result. And again, it's tough. They did nothing wrong. It's not like... A couple of no-hopers were sent with one purpose of ruining a race. They were all running, as far as I could see, you know, to achieve the best position. It just happened there were a lot of them in the race.
Yes.
And Wild Illusion ended up right smack bang in the middle of them. I thought it was a decent race. I think Wild Illusion is a good horse, and therefore I think Forever Together will, you know, progress from that race. The ones in further behind, not so sure.
It's over the last few years as well, we've been blessed in the fillies division as well. Obviously, in Able last year, we've had the likes of Winter and Minding over the last few years. Maybe not anything of that calibre in terms of the fillies division this year, but we have been blessed over the last few years.
I think I always thought Larty Dar was going to win.
Yeah, sure.
So I think, by definition, in my head, the fact that was absent probably downgraded it a little bit.
Yeah. Also on Friday's action... what did you make of the Coronation Cup and Cracksman, who obviously scrambled home to just about pip the outside of the field, Salouen? I suppose two schools of thought in this one. You can either be very impressed given what went wrong and he still managed to have his class carry him through, or you can be slightly underwhelmed by it.
I'll go in the former category. I think
you thought it was a good performance.
I did, considering clearly...
I don't think he'll be running at Epsom ever again.
You've taken the words out of my mouth there. He didn't handle the track. Obviously, he had an issue in the gate, but he was never travelling at all. And a lesser horse, both in ability and resolution, would have been probably unplaced, let alone, you know, just in the places. So I think you have to actually mark it up for Cracksman. Everything went wrong, yet he still... wanted it and was able to do it. So I'm marking it up. What he beat, again, I didn't think it was a particularly strong race, to be honest.
No.
You know, there were a couple of very underwhelming performances from other horses. I never fancied Idaho there at all anyway.
Yeah.
Am I on the right race? Yes, I am. I suddenly thought, am I?
And Hot Bill was obviously the other one to disappoint a little bit.
That disappointed me the most. Because I thought he would handle it, whereas I didn't think Idaho had any chance. I thought Hot Bill did have a chance. And if the real Hot Bill had turned up, then maybe you'd have had a different result. But that's not Cracksman's fault, is it?
No, of course.
I think I was very happy with Cracksman's performance.
And speaking of Epsom as well, going back to last year's Derby, he was one of, if not the first, off the bridle and still managed to place in the Derby, which, again, is probably testament to the horse, really. And as I say, I can't imagine we'll ever be seeing him on the Downs again.
No, I certainly will. Can't imagine they'll even entertain the thought. No need.
No. Be interesting to see Cracksman getting on at Ascot. And that's the final question on this week's Monday jury as well. Your strongest fancies at this stage for the Royal Meeting, which only a couple of weeks away now. Will you be having any runners there?
To be honest, I'm not sure I will, unless a couple of the two-year-olds run.
Right.
But I'm trying to, I think one of them will go to the sale the day before.
Okay.
And I'm more than happy to accept a nice offer.
That's good of you, Tom.
Yeah, I know. Well, you've got to sell some sometimes, yeah, you know. Yeah, I can't always buy.
So, I suppose so.
And I don't think any in the handicaps. I don't think they're high enough. So they've got to win somewhere very quickly to get in. As for who I'm particularly looking forward to, I've got... Well, I think if as long as Dreamfield runs in the Wokingham, he'll win.
Right.
Unless there's such a draw bias that one side's 10 lengths behind. Okay. Because, I mean, maybe they could go to the Diamond Jubilee instead. But otherwise, I think he's as much for certainty as you can get in a big field handicap on at Royal Ascot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Dreamfield then in the Wokingham. Let's leave the Monday jury there then and turn our attention on to Tuesday's racing. Got two picked out from Newcastle's evening card. The only flat meeting of the day on Tuesday is on the all-weather. We start with the 7:15, handicap over a mile and a quarter here. Seven runners down to take their chance in this one. Spin us through a couple of these, Tom.
Yeah, my selection in this is going to be the top horse, Sparta Kirkus, I think we'll call him.
Mm.
I mean, it's a little bit of a shot in the dark because he's been in pretty rank form so far this season, and if you told me over the winter that it'd be rated 74 by June of this year, I'd have looked somewhat shocked. I thought he was fairly progressive last year and would be a horse who'd gone to bigger and better things, but I mean the season started terribly at Newbury, beaten a country mile, then went to Ripon. I mean it was a decent race at Ripon, but he weakened quickly again, and then at Leicester he just emptied out to finish last once more. But my reasons for optimism are that he's now into class 5, lowest grade race he's appeared in since September last year when he won at Chepstow. His only other appearance in Class 5 was in July when he won at Doncaster. Gets first-time blinkers to try and extract some of, well, I was going to say some of his inner well-being out, but maybe that's half the problem, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at this horse at the sales at the end of last season. He was unsold for 78,000. I mean, that's a reserve of 80,000 they've put on this horse. They clearly, you know, they didn't want to let him go for any cheap amount. So I just think, and if you look at back to the breeze ups, he cost 300,000 back then. He's only run twice on the all weather, came fifth on both occasions. I don't think that's enough to say he doesn't handle it. Certainly one of them was a decent run. I just think he ought to show a welcome return to form in this lower grade. And looking at, you know, the rivals, Rubenzian returns to the all weather, definitely the right move for that horse because he's never been placed on turf. Still reported to have a breathing problem even after the wind surgery last time. I don't know, maybe the return to the artificial track will help that out, but I'd have a question mark judging from that report. I mean, Caro Magnifique has yet to win on the all-weather. Just looks vulnerable. Archipelago's been busy this year. He ought to be competitive, but is another horse who's just fully exposed. Fisher Green ran well last time, but has to go further here. He's back on the all-weather. Huddersfield Town, this is a better race than normal, and the two victories have been at Chelmsford. And Weatherfront does get a lot of weight from some of these, and would, you know, has been in decent enough form. I'd have that one as the main danger to my selection.
Which is Sparta Kirkus then in the 7:15 at Newcastle. On to the 8:45, which is the final race of the night there. A 5 furlong handicap upcoming, 14 of them lining up to get a post. And quite a few of these are tried and tested in these kind of races. A lot of Newcastle sprint regulars lining up here. I thought you had one in the lineup, Robert Cowell and the yellow and black colours, but they're not quite your
colours. No, that's not mine. Yeah. I'm not that brave if it was mine either.
And then having looked on further inspection, that's definitely not your name next to the horse either. So, talk us through these. As I say, plenty of these with loads of course and distance form on offer.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've picked one that has. But anyway, my selection is going to be Blazed. I looked at this horse in February at the sales, decided not to get him in the end. He was sold for 22,000. I forget what it is, but he had something on his leg which is quite, it looks off-putting, which would have put some people, it matters not a bit in the race, but it might have meant it was marginally cheaper than certain horses who might look a perfect physical specimen. But anyway, some shrewd people bought him. And the reason I liked him was that he'd come third in a race at Kempton in January, in which my horse Daskus came second. Winner Sparkalot's a decent horse. My horse is all right. And I quite like the fourth horse, Envisaging, as well. So I thought that form was a really good standard for a race of that calibre. had some time off, returned to the track last month at Ascot, was slowly away. I mean, held up out the back, made good late progress, finished really well, seemed certain to improve on the back of that run. Interestingly, the second horse from that race runs after we're recording this, but Monday night in effect. I just think Blaze has potentially a lot more to come from this horse. And again, looking at the opposition, you say a lot of them are regulars here, and they are. But I mean, we did do, don't we, just appears to be regressing the more he runs. Computable has always been very frustrating. Tyler Wonder is out of form. Desert Sport, I think that actually has got an each way squeak, but needs more. Sue Wan's been in good form, but I think needs help from the handicapper. Castor Bridge has shown little on two starts this season, but did win twice here in November. I think that horse is one of the main dangers. Clearly won't be inconvenienced by returning to the track. Apricot Sky looks fully exposed and had a poor return to action last month. Royal Mesian's shown nothing recently. Pea Shooter, I think last couple of runs suggest that's vulnerable. Pilkington's Lightly Race has run a couple of sound races. And I mean, that was in first-time blinkers at Nottingham. He also lost a shoe in the parade ring. So that's another one that could have a little bit more to come. Grandad's World hasn't won for ages. Primo's Comet's now 0-6. Can't see a win quite round the corner for that one. And Win for Power, very prolific, in particular here, could prove another one of the main threats. But he's still £2 above his most recent victory and I think needs to drop back to his usual winning marks.
Good stuff. Blaze gets the nod then in that 8:45 for Tom, and he's picking the 7:15 as well with Sparta Kirkus. Hope you can join us for all of the racing on Tuesday. We're on air at 1:50 p.m. Tom, thank you very much for that, and enjoy the racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.